I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So good to see all of you in the house of the Lord. Now, always count it a great privilege to be in the house of the Lord to worship Him. And are you very joyful this morning to be here? Alright, very good. Yes, may the Lord continue to bless you and to strengthen you, and may you continue to find great joy coming here to worship the Lord. And remember, when we come here, we don't just worship the Lord, but we come here also to provoke one another unto love and to good works. Yes, we speak good word to each one of us, to our friends, to our fellow churchmates, and through these good words, we hope that our people will be encouraged. And I thank you for praying for me. As you know, I actually have got three problems now. My eye, I went for the checkup. Thank God for a good procedure. It went off well. My shoulder, I've got a frozen shoulder, and I also hurt my back. But thank you for praying for me, and this morning I'm very thankful that my back is holding up. I can stand before you to bring God's word. Now the message today is, what can good news do? What can good news do? Well, as you know, we are studying the book of 1 Thessalonians. And the 1 Thessalonians, the church at Thessalonica was founded by the great apostle Paul during his second missionary journey. Now I thought this morning that it would be good if I would just once again go over very, very briefly concerning his second missionary journey, and that would give us a good background of what we are going to talk about this morning. What can good news do? Now, Paul started his missionary journey from this city called Antioch. If you follow the red line, you know what I mean, follow the red line. And then he went next into Asia Minor. Now, Asia Minor is the ancient name for modern Turkey. All right, remember that. And actually what he wanted to do was to revisit the places that he had brought the gospel to in his first missionary trip. And of course he also wanted to expand the work of the gospel in Asia Minor. But God forbade him to continue to minister there. The word of God says the Holy Spirit forbade him to continue to preach in Asia Minor. And caused him to go instead to go over to Europe instead. And the places that he covered when he went into Europe actually are places that are in modern Greece today. All the various cities that he visited are today in modern Greece. They have taken on different names, and some of these cities might not exist today. Next slide, please. Now, the first city that he visited was the city of Philippi. Can you see the words now? Yes, the city of Philippi. And at Philippi, remember Lydia, the seller of purple, and then the Philippi jailer and his family were converted. And there, of course, he was persecuted. Then he brought the gospel next to the city of Thessalonica. He founded the church there. He was there only for a few weeks, maybe a few weeks or maybe a couple of months, a very, very short period. And the persecution there was so fierce that he had to leave the city of Thessalonica by night, together with his missionary partners, Silas and Timothy. Now, the distance from Philippi to Thessalonica would possibly be about 150 to 170 kilometers or so. Now, then from Thessalonica, he went to Berea. Now, the city of Berea was very receptive to the gospel because the Jews there actually searched the scriptures. And when they searched the scriptures, they realized that Paul was speaking the truth. And so they were very responsive to the gospel. But the Jews in Thessalonica, who had earlier persecuted Paul, Silas, and Timothy, when they heard that Paul was bringing the gospel in Berea, they came to Berea. They went after them. And as a result of that persecution, Paul had no choice but to travel south to the city of Athens. Can you see? The city of Athens. But he left behind in Berea Silas and Timothy. Now, when he came to Athens, Paul found that this place was really very, very opposed to the gospel. Totally pagan. There were many people who professed to be philosophers, and there were people who pretended to be philosophers. And he felt so discouraged there that he very quickly summoned Silas and Timothy to come quickly from Berea to Athens. But when they came to Athens, Paul realized that the folks in Thessalonica needed Timothy more than he needed Timothy. Of course, he would love to have Timothy assist him in the ministry, but he realized that the folks at Thessalonica needed Timothy more. And so he sent Timothy to Thessalonica to minister to the folks there, to build them up in the faith. Now he himself then went westwards to the city of Corinth. Now some time later, we do not know how much later, perhaps a few months, perhaps a year or so, Timothy left Thessalonica and caught up with the great apostle Paul in the city of Corinth. And there he brought good news to the great apostle Paul concerning the spiritual well-being of the folks in Thessalonica. Right? Now that's what we want to talk about this morning. Good news. What can good news do? So Timothy brought the gospel, brought good news to the great apostle Paul. I'd like us to turn to 1 Thessalonians and look at chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and look at verses 6 to 10. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 verses 6 to 10. I read the 5 verses for you. But now, when Timotheus came from you unto us, remember where was he? He was in Corinth, all right, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity. So Timothy brought good tidings of good news from the city of Thessalonica concerning the faith and the charity. Charity means love, Christian love, sacrificial love of the folks in Thessalonica, and that you have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live, if we stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God? Night and day praying exceedingly, that we might see your faith and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. I'd like to speak on 3 points this morning. Number one, it is good news from Thessalonica. Number two, the comfort of good news. And number three, thanksgiving for good news. Now in this passage, we read that Timothy brought good news to the great apostle Paul concerning the folks in Thessalonica. And the news was about the faith and the love. And the love here refers to Christian love or sacrificial love. The old English word for it is charity. So Timothy brought good news concerning the faith and the love of the folks in Thessalonica. I ask you, my dear friends, what do you regard to be good news? Now, many of us here have emigrated over to Australia for some years now. And I dare believe that you have been possibly keeping in touch with your former church mates or friends in Singapore. And now and then you get news from them and you get news about them. But not necessarily from Singapore, it could be from Malaysia or from Hong Kong or from elsewhere. Now, if you receive news that they are in good health, they are doing well in their work, doing well in their business, their children are all doing well in school or doing well in their work, you will probably say, I've received good news from my loved ones, yes, or my friends. But if the news is that they are in bad shape, health is poor, children are not doing well in their work or in school, or they are not doing well in their work or in their business, then you say, the news that I receive about them is not very good, it's bad news. So if we hear things positive about them, we say it's good news. But if we hear things that are not positive, we say that what we receive is bad news. But friends, I dare say that our focus seems always to be on things physical and things material. Isn't it very true? All right, the things I just talked about, they're actually physical and material. But what about the spiritual well-being? What about the spiritual health? They could be doing very well in their business, could be doing very well in their work. Their children could be doing well, and then they could be enjoying excellent health. But friends, what about the spiritual well-being? Are they walking close with the Lord? Or have they grown cold in their love for the Lord? Or, and then are they still participating in Sunday school teaching? Are they still actively engaged in all the fellowship activities? Are they still engaged in the prayer meeting? Do they go to prayer meeting to participate in the prayer meeting? And then are the children serving the Lord in the church, in the various fellowships? Now friends, if the answers to all these questions are in the negative, surely the news that we have received about them cannot be good. The news is bad news. Spiritually, they are not doing all right. I lost touch with a friend some years ago who went overseas to work from Singapore. We used to serve together in the church. And he was a very, very talented person, actually, and I had a great deal of respect for him. Yes. Then we lost touch, as I said. Then sometime later, we got in touch again. Now, as far as his work was concerned, he was doing all right. But spiritually, I could not say the same. I wasn't even sure whether he was attending church or not. So what can I say? Did I receive good news about him, or did I receive bad news about him? My dear friends, I have to say that the news I have of him wasn't good. But let us imagine, this friend of mine wasn't doing so well in his work. All right, his health wasn't so good. But he was rejoicing in the Lord, keeping very close to the Lord. Now, if that be the case, then I would be bold enough to say that the news that I receive of him is good. Spiritually, he is doing well. Praise the Lord. Now, the news that Timothy brought to Paul concerning the Thessalonians was good news. 1 Thessalonians 3:6 says, "But now when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and your charity." You see, it's good tidings, good news of your faith and charity, and that you have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. It was good news in that the Thessalonians were steadfast in the most holy faith, and they were demonstrating Christian love. Now remember, this church was subject to persecution. When Paul brought the gospel to them, remember, the Jews were very, very fierce in their persecution. So much so that Paul, Silas, and Timothy had to leave the city of Thessalonica under the cover of night. They had to leave in that manner. Now, Paul, as I said, was possibly with them only for a few weeks. But chapter 1 tells us that after their conversion, these Thessalonians became exemplary believers. Remember, we talked about that some weeks ago. They became exemplary believers. And they were very evangelistic. Out of them sounded the gospel throughout the whole of the Macedonian region. So very evangelistic. And they became people who were very joyful. And apart from that, they were people who were very hopeful. They were hopeful of seeing the face of the Lord when the Lord returns. Yes, so in spite of the persecution, they were steadfast in the service of the Lord. Very, very walking close to the Lord. Yes, they didn't become worldly. All right, don't worry about their lizard. All right, yes, okay. Yes, they didn't become worldly, all right. Neither did they become apostates. In other words, they didn't fall away from the faith. Yes, they kept strong in the faith. Now, the great apostle Paul also received good news, not only about their faith, but about their love, their charity. And the Thessalonians had received this love from whom? Of course, they received this love from the Lord. They received this love from God's mighty Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had shed abroad the love of God into their hearts. The Holy Spirit had poured out the love of God into their hearts. That's why they were able to love. But how was Timothy to know that they were loving people so that he could report that they were loving people to the Apostle Paul? How could he know? Now, the only way for him to know was that... can you just stop that user from going that way? Are you scared of it? Yeah. Don't worry. Yeah. It doesn't bite, alright, so don't worry. Use my stick. Yeah. All right, thank you. All right, the drama is over. All right, let me just repeat what I said. I think you were distracted. You possibly didn't hear what I was talking about. Now, first of all, the good news was concerning their faith, right? They were steadfast in the most holy faith. So in spite of the persecution that they were experiencing, they remained steadfast in the most holy faith. They didn't become worldly, neither did they become apostates. In other words, they didn't fall away from the faith. Now, the other good news that the great Apostle Paul received about them was that they had true Christian love, charity, and they of course received this love from God's mighty Holy Spirit. But how was Timothy to know that they had this love in their hearts? Answer, they must have demonstrated this love. Surely, that was why Timothy was able to report to Paul that these people had great love. They must have shown how long-suffering they were in relating with one another. And that's very important. In our relating with one another, if we say that we love one another, my dear friends, we have to exercise a lot of long-suffering. You agree with that? Yes. And then they must have shown that they were kind to one another, not envious of one another. And then they must have shown that they were not boastful, not conceited, always willing to esteem others better than themselves. And then they must have shown that they were very courteous to other people. Did you realize that love is courteous? Yes. If you want to show love, be courteous to others. And then they must also have shown that they were not selfish and that they were not easily provoked to anger. I think this is one of our weaknesses, right? We're so easily provoked to anger. But the folks at Thessalonica must have shown that they were not easily provoked to anger, and they did not think evil of other people. Love thinketh no evil. And then they must have shown how forbearing they were in relating with one another. And they were not fault-finding with one another. They were prepared always to overlook the faults of other people. My dear friends, what they were actually doing was they were showing true Christian love. The church was not divisive like the church in Corinth, and that church truly loved their spiritual father. That church loved their pastor, the Apostle Paul, and their love for Paul was not a flash in the pan, but they had good remembrance of the Apostle Paul always and his fellow laborers. Now, how do we know? Look at verse 6. Alright, their love, not a flash in the pan. Look at verse 6. You have good remembrance of us, what? Always. Did you see the word? Always. Desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Now, to have a fond memory of him, of the Apostle Paul, was good. But that love could just be a very, very sentimental feeling towards the Apostle Paul. But what kind of remembrance did these folks in the city of Thessalonica have of the great Apostle Paul? Surely it was not the type that was sentimental. Surely it was type that was very practical. And what do you think is the most practical way to show love for other people? My dear friends, I think the most practical way to show fond memory of other people is to pray for them. And these folks in the city of Thessalonica, I dare believe, must have prayed for the Apostle Paul privately and publicly. Every time they met, they must have prayed for the Apostle Paul. That is why Timothy knew that these people really loved the great Apostle Paul. And they were desiring greatly to see Paul and his fellow laborers. The love between the pastor and the congregation members was mutual. The pastor loved the congregation members, the congregation members loved him. Now, it is absolutely important that such mutual love exists between pastor and congregation members. I knew of a church some years ago in which there was a sharp contention between the pastor of the church and the large number of members in the congregation. Now, in a situation like this, could the work of the gospel progress? Of course. It would be impossible for the work of the gospel to progress. For the work of the gospel to progress, there must be reciprocal love between pastor and congregation. And one of the best ways, my dear friends, to show love to those who minister to you is to pray for them and to pray with them. Now, how much do you pray for them? How much do you pray with them? And I get personal now. How much you pray for me and how much you pray with me? Now, do you remember your preacher, your minister always in your prayer? And do you come to the prayer meeting to pray with him? Just like Aaron and Hur prayed with Moses on the hill that was overlooking the battlefield in Rephidim. Now that was the place where the children of Israel fought their first battle after they came out of the land of Egypt. They came to Rephidim, and there they fought against the Amalekites. The children of Israel were led by Joshua to go out to battle with the Amalekites. And there was Moses up on the hill, assisted by Aaron and Hur. And when Moses lifted up his arms with his rod, praying, of course, to the one true living God, the children of Israel prevailed. But when he got tired and his hands came down, the enemies prevailed, the Amalekites prevailed. So what did Aaron and Hur do? Just stood by and watched? No, my dear friends, they held Moses' arms, held up his hands, and they continued to do so until the children of Israel won over their enemies. My dear friends, if you truly love your minister, come, pray for him and come pray with him at the prayer meeting. Now, we have been talking about receiving news about people living overseas. Yes, receiving news about other people. Now, more importantly, what about news about ourselves to people who are living elsewhere in the world? When they receive news of us, would it be good news or would it be bad news? Would we, when they hear of us, do they hear that we are walking steadfast in the Lord and that every day we are trying hard to love the Lord with all our heart, our soul, our mind and our strength, and our neighbors as ourselves? Would we be like the church in the city of Thessalonica, in which members love one another and members were very steadfast in the most holy faith? And members who have not gone apostates, members who truly love the Lord and who are completely faithful to him and to his word. Would that be the kind of news that people hear of us when they hear of you? Yes, people who are living overseas elsewhere, would they hear this kind of news from you? Now, let us talk about the comfort of good news. We have talked about what good news is. The emphasis of the good news must not be on things physical, material, but it must be on things spiritual. Now, let us talk about the comfort of good news. The great Apostle Paul was much comforted by the good news that he heard concerning the Thessalonians. He says in verse 7, "Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith."
Yes, we were comforted over you. The great apostle Paul was going through very tough time. Yes, remember when he was in the city of Philippi, he was persecuted. Remember, he and Silas were thrown into maximum security imprisonment after they were beaten. Then after the persecution, they went to the city of Thessalonica. Now in the city of Thessalonica, again they were persecuted, as we said earlier on. Then from there they went to the city of Berea, and again they were persecuted in the city of Berea. And Paul went down south to the city of Athens. Now when he went to the city of Athens, as we said earlier on, he was very much discouraged, because that city was very hostile to the gospel, totally unreceptive of the gospel. The place was pagan, filled with unbelievers. There were many people who professed to be philosophers there. Now he is in Corinth. Now, do you think he had a good time in the city of Corinth? No, my dear friends. He experienced great persecution in the city of Corinth. So much so that the Lord actually had to encourage him in the city of Corinth. I'd like us to turn to Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18, and you see how much the Lord encouraged him there. Acts chapter 18, but keep your finger at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Acts chapter 18 and verses 9 and 10, I read for you. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. Paul was in the city of Corinth, alright? And God gave him a vision. The Lord gave him a vision. Be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. So the Lord encouraged him. Now apart from this persecution, Paul had to earn his own living to support himself, because he didn't want to give rise to any kind of misunderstanding. He didn't want people to perceive that he was preaching for money. So he worked, he made use of his hands to earn his own living in tent making. Every Jew, male Jew in those days, had to have a trade. And Paul's trade was tent making. Then when he was doing this tent making in the city of Corinth, he must have been very, very concerned about the spiritual conditions of the churches that he ministered to, particularly the church at Thessalonica. Then came Timothy. He brought great and wonderful news. And Paul said, Timothy brought us good tidings of your faith and charity. And then the result of the good news was that Paul was very, very much comforted. Verse 7 and verse 8, the word of God says, therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live, if we stand fast in the Lord. Now, Paul, of course, knew how to live a victorious Christian life. Yes, he's shown us how to live a victorious Christian life. In Galatians 2:20, he says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul knew that to live a victorious Christian life, every day he must have self-crucified. He knew that, and he must have been doing that. Yet, there were times when he needed encouragement. And this good news from the city of Thessalonica really encouraged him. It comforted him. And so he said, for now we live, if we stand fast in the Lord. The news was very refreshing. When Timothy brought the news, I can imagine Paul sitting on the bench, working with goat's hair, trying to make the tent that he was trying to make. And then when he saw Timothy coming through the doors, he must have put down his tools very, very quickly. He stood up, and then he rushed forward, and he must have embraced his spiritual son. And then he sat down and listened intently to the report given by Timothy about the Thessalonians. The good news must have brought tears of joy, tears of gladness, tears of thanksgiving. Yes, the news truly nourished him, strengthened him, revived him,
gave him new life to serve.
Friends, leaders in the church need encouragement also. Yes, they do. Even pastors of great stature had their moments of discouragement. Even the great Apostle Paul had his moment of discouragement. And our enemy's favorite tactic is to make use of this tool called discouragement. Now, I could have told you this before some years ago, but a good story I think is worth re-narrating. It's a fictitious story. All right, remember, fictitious. One day, Satan decided to go out of business. But of course, Satan would never want to go out of business. As I said, it's a fictitious story. And so he displayed all his tools, and he wanted to sell all of them to his demons, those who were his followers. And he displayed them very well and very attractively. There were trickery, hatred, jealousy, all these tools, and malice, deceit, sensuality, and many other evil tools. And each one was, of course, tagged with a price. Then in the middle of all these tools, right in the very center, was a tool that was very well worn, not attractive looking, but the price tag was very high, more costly than all the other tools. And the demons asked him, "Master, what is this tool? Why is it so costly?" He said, "Oh, this is my favorite tool. Yes, it is the most effective tool. It is called discouragement. When I make use of it, I can cause people to feel that they are completely useless and worthless, and they will just lie down and do nothing and wallow in self-pity." My dear friends, leaders need encouragement, because Satan, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And if he can devour leaders in the church with discouragement, he will do so. Now, the question is, what news about you will bring the greatest encouragement to those who minister to you? What news do you think? Yes, friends, it is the news that you are doing well in the faith, that you are walking steadfast in the Lord, and that you are trying very hard to love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and your strength, and your neighbors as yourself. My dear friends, that is the kind of news that is going to uplift those people who minister to you. Now, having heard this great news from Timothy, the great Apostle Paul could not contain himself, but he gave thanks unto the Lord for the good news. So verse 9 we read, "For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God?" In other words, what he was saying was this: I can't thank God enough for the joy that I have when I received the good news about you. So Paul's spirit was revived, strengthened. Whatever discouragement he had previously was completely dispelled by this great news that he received from Thessalonica. All the distresses, all the afflictions, all the pains of persecution pale into nothing compared to the joy that he had upon receiving this great news that came from Thessalonica, that these folks were doing well in the faith. They were showing great charity, showing great faith in the Lord. Good news brings cheer and encouragement to others. Now, what good news, I ask you, do you have that you may share with other people that might encourage them in the faith? Now, if you have got good news about yourself, don't keep the good news to yourself. Now, today, you are participating in the 30 in 30, right? Yes, some of us here are doing so. When you go out and share the gospel with people, when you have got good news, don't keep the good news to yourself. Come back to the church and share your good news with other members in the church to encourage them, to strengthen them in the most holy faith. Now, very often, we keep good news to ourselves. True? Yes. After the Lord has answered our prayers, very often we conveniently forget about the goodness of the Lord. So even when we come to the prayer meeting, we forget to give thanks unto the Lord for His goodness. Isn't it true? So we keep the goodness to ourselves, the good news to ourselves. A worse situation is this. It is when we ask other people to pray, but after the Lord has answered our prayers, we don't even want to come to the prayer meeting to give thanks unto the Lord. Friends, we owe it to the Lord to give thanks unto Him. And we surely, my dear friends, all people who prayed for us, to give them the joy of receiving the good news that their prayers for us have been answered. Don't you think so? We owe it to them to tell them that their prayers for us have been answered. You owe it to them to give them that joy of receiving that good news. Now, let's go on and talk about my final point, which is thanksgiving for good news. Coming back to the great Apostle Paul. Now we see that he rendered unto the Lord thanksgiving for the good news that he heard. Verse 9. For what thanks can we render to God again for you? For all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God. You see, Paul was always in the state of readiness to give thanks unto the Lord. So he was always ready to catch good news to thank the Lord for, because he was always in the state of readiness to give thanks unto the Lord. Right? It is easy for us when we are discouraged to wallow in self-pity. Paul could have said this, you know, he could have, Lord, what do I get for serving you? City after city, I preached the gospel, I was persecuted. I went to Philippi, I was persecuted. I went to Thessalonica, I was persecuted. I went to Berea, I was persecuted. Then I brought the gospel to Athens. What happened? I was laughed at, I was mocked at. The philosophers there mocked at me. Then now in Corinth, I'm also persecuted. So what good have I received from you, Lord? Now Paul could have said that. The truth, my dear friends, is the more we pity ourselves, the more discouraged we feel. If Paul was wallowing in self-pity, you know, if he was wallowing in self-pity, when Timothy brought the good news to him, you know, I think he would miss the goodness of the news. He would be thinking about himself. He would probably have said this to Timothy. So what? What's so good about the news? When I'm so distressed, when I'm so afflicted, what's so great about the news? Then he would fail to give thanks unto the Lord. And if he failed to give thanks unto the Lord, he would have lost the joy which the Lord wanted him to have. But Paul was not one who would dwell in self-pity. He would seize every opportunity to give thanks unto the Lord. Even after he was thrown into maximum security imprisonment in the city of Philippi with his missionary partner Silas. Remember that? What did he do? After they were beaten, in the middle of the night, at midnight, they gave thanks unto the Lord, they sang, and all their fellow prisoners heard them singing. Their testimony was so impressive that after the Lord sent the earthquake, the Philippi jailer came to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, together with his family members, because of this great testimony of Paul and Silas. Paul practiced what he preached. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. That is why, my dear friends, he could run his Christian race so triumphantly. And see how triumphant he was in running his Christian race. Yes, at the close of his life, my dear friends, this man was one who lived his life with great thanksgiving unto the Lord. He said this. He was waiting to be executed. And this was what he said. I fought a good fight. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing. That was what he said. Yes, so triumphant he was. So, with that readiness to give thanks unto the Lord, when he received the good news from Thessalonica, what did he do? Paul jumped at the good news. Nothing could stop him from praising the Lord. Friends, let us all pray for this spirit of thanksgiving. Learn in everything to give thanks, so that when we are discouraged, we will still be looking for things to give thanks to the Lord for, rather than to complain about our situation. And in the spirit of thanksgiving, we will always be looking for good news about other people to give thanks to the Lord for. And we will be looking at ourselves, looking for things to give thanks to the Lord for, so that we can bring good news about ourselves to other people. Now let us see what impact the thanksgiving for good news had on the great Apostle Paul. He rejoiced in thanksgiving, and that encouraged him to pray even further for the Thessalonians. Yes, that was what happened. That was the impact of thanksgiving. He was encouraged to pray even more for the folks at Thessalonica. How do we know it? Look at verse 10. Night and day praying exceedingly, that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. You see, thanksgiving has a way of encouraging us to pray even more. Did you realize that? Why? You see, when we give thanks, we are actually looking back and remembering that God is very faithful and able. Did you realize that? We give thanks because we realize God is able and faithful. He answered my prayers. That is why I'm giving thanks now. And then with this confidence that God is both able and faithful, what do? We'll pray even more, isn't it true? Because we know that in the future, God is going to answer my prayers. And that exactly was what happened to the great Apostle Paul. In the giving of thanks, when he received this good news, he was encouraged to pray even more for the folks in the city of Thessalonica. He said, night and day, I will continue to pray for you. Friends, let us give thanks for good news. Because good news shows us that our God is both able and faithful. And when we are confident that He's able and faithful, we'll be encouraged to pray even more. Now, so what do you regard to be good news? I trust that when we receive news of our friends and loved ones, we will be looking for really good news about them. We'll not just be eagerly looking forward to hear about their material and physical well-being, but our focus will be on their spiritual well-being. When we learn that they are doing well spiritually, my dear friends, we would thank the Lord that we have received good news in regards to them. Then, what news about ourselves? Will others hear of us? Will they hear that we are steadfast in the most holy faith? Will they hear that we are trying very, very hard every day to love the Lord with all our heart, our soul, with our mind, our strength, our neighbors as ourselves? And then will they hear good news about this church? That this church is noted for its fervency in love for one another, and that this church is steadfast in the most holy faith. Will they be hearing this kind of news about us and about our church? And then we said earlier on that leaders in the church need encouragement too. Because the devil, like a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And if he can devour church leaders with discouragement, he will do it. And the best way, my dear friends, for us to encourage our church leaders, whom we know need encouragement, is to bring good news about ourselves, that we are indeed doing well in the faith, walking close to the Lord, loving the Lord with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength, and our neighbors as ourselves. Now the question is, do we really love one another? Do we love those who minister to us? Do we love the preacher? If we say that we love the preacher, then, friends, I encourage you to come to the prayer meeting to pray with the preacher. Express your love in a practical way. Then, like the great Apostle Paul, we need to be in the spirit of thanksgiving all the time, for that is the surest way to overcome discouragement. In such a spirit, we will be all ears, always having all ears to catch good news about other people to give thanks to the Lord for. And then in the spirit of thanksgiving, we'll be looking within ourselves to see what we can give thanks to the Lord for. We'll be searching for good news from us to other people to encourage other people in the faith. And when we are in this spirit of thanksgiving, we will always recognize that this God of ours is what? Both able and faithful. And when we have this spirit of thanksgiving, my dear friends, we will always want to continue to pray and to pray and to pray. Because we know for sure that God will always answer our prayers. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that you teach us how we may walk close to you. Help us, O Lord, that we may always be on the lookout for good news to give thanks to you for. And we pray that we may always look within ourselves also for things that we can thank you for rather than to complain. And Father, we pray that we may always live in such a way that our lives will be an encouragement to other people. And that when we have good news to share with other people, Lord, we pray that you will give us the desire and the boldness to share it so that others may be encouraged in the faith. And help us all, O Lord, always to live with a spirit of thanksgiving. For if we did so, Lord, we know that we will become more prayerful because we know that you will always answer our prayers. For we pray and ask all this in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.